Fantastic. Well, thank you for your patience. And thank you, Paul, for that wonderful kindness. You put up with me for many years. There's quite a story about it. This was balloons first emerged on Tuesday when I had a pre-birthday party. No, it was Thursday, actually, my actual birthday party, wasn't it? There was a lot of running about before I got to my birthday party because of these balloons. And there were, in fact, a second set. And the first one, the six, actually was destroyed before we got there. So that another two appeared. So there is another zero. So the maximum possible age is 900. just for a laugh, somebody took my picture and I posted this on Facebook. I'm not a great Facebook person, Pat saw it. And this one here got some interesting reactions. A lot of sympathy, obviously in my great age and my old mind, you know, I didn't know the difference between six and nine. And Nick, did you realize, you know, just turn it over. But the worrying thing was that some people seemed to believe and didn't bat an eyelid at the thought that I might possibly be 90. So that was very worrying indeed. Anyway, I wanted to talk this morning about making the most of our lives in 2017, which is a kind of age thing. But hopefully, since we all have some age, it'll be relevant to all of us. I was interested this morning. I came to the prayer meeting, and as soon as I got in there, I felt God give me a picture, and it was of a crocus. I thought, you know, why a crocus? But of course, a crocus is a very seasonal thing. It's a very seasonal plant. It's a very spring kind of plant. It's something that's really happening now, that this is the time when those little crocuses are wanting to just push their leaves forward, and then the flower will follow the leaves. And so when Angelina had the thing about the seeds, and David actually was singing this song about "You Make Me Alive," I do feel this morning that God wants to do something in our hearts, that he wants to do something new. Now, the wonderful thing is that we all have the potential for growth and change, that if we know Jesus, then he has put something inside us that is made to grow, that is made to respond. Whoa, I'm going to switch that off right now. Okay. That is made to grow. And if you don't know Jesus, then you have that opportunity as well, because God wants to put something inside us that is new, but will continue to change and improve and to grow as the years go by. So I want to encourage you. And the thing is that I felt in the meeting this morning, you know, there's that when we come together, that God is here. There is the light of his presence. There's the light of his word. There is the warmth of the Holy Spirit. We come in amongst God's people, and we need to be open, don't we? We need to say, God, move in my heart. You know what Christmas time is like? For many of us, it's a wonderful time of backsliding. We eat too much, possibly drink too much, lie around too much, maybe even say things that we regret. And often we come through the new year a little bit out of sorts. But thank God for his mercy. And thank Jesus for his blood. This is my new phone, my birthday present. It's causing me all sorts of trouble. I've switched it off now, so let's not worry about that. I only had it on for your sake, so I don't talk too long. No, it isn't the end. It would have been nice, wouldn't it? That would have been nice. So this thing of turning 60, people say, well, how do you feel about being 60? Not very nice, really. Not very nice. I was talking to Philippa, who is a couple of decades younger, and is just also another zero clocks by, I feel the older I get, the more challenged I become, that I want God to make the most of my life. I want to do something more with my life. I'm grateful for what he's done, but I believe that there's much more, and it's the same for all of us. I love this Wesley quote. John Wesley, towards the end of his life, he said, "I have thought I am a creature of a day, passing through life as an arrow through the air. I am a spirit come from God and returning to God, just hovering over the great gulf, till a few moments hence I am no more seen. I drop into an unchangeable eternity. It's an amazing statement. It's very poetic, isn't it? But what he was saying there are two things. The first thing he was saying is that life is very short. And you know, really, it is short. And when I was 50, I had this great sense that the halftime whistle had blown. I was in the second half. Someone had brought on the oranges. And I wanted to make the most of my life. And now I'm 10 years older than that. I think, what's happened these last 10 years? And what's going to happen in the future? This is what Moses said. Oh, yeah, just the second thing is that we only get one chance. I drop into an unchangeable eternity. All our important decisions will be made on this earth. Whether we spend eternity with God or without is a decision that we will make upon this earth. And we will not be able to remake the decisions that we make now. We pass into an unchangeable eternity. And I think that Wesley was very conscious of that. Moses said this, the years of our life, this is in Psalm 90. Another interesting thing was at New Year's Eve, one of the wonderful things that God has done with us here at New Life and with the other churches in the area has brought a tremendous unity so that we can share our services. And we were together on New Year's Eve praying in the new year. And Jules was asking for volunteers and nobody came up for this particular point. So I went forward to try and help out. I thought I was going to read Isaiah. And he said, Psalm 90, please. And this is what it was. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. That was his perspective. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. He said we should count our days, count every day. A guy who was one of the leaders here a number of years ago was someone called John Bedkin. Those of you who remember John and Doreen will feel love at the mention of their name. And John was a teacher before he became a pastor. And I remember him saying, and Gavin can take note here, that the head teacher of his school, every year they had a staff meeting. And this is what he said. He said, they only come this way once. They only come this way once. In other words, this year, for the teachers, you only have one opportunity with your year group. You will never have that opportunity again. And every day we have opportunities that we will never have again. I have opportunities that you will never have. And you have opportunities that I will never have. And we will never have them again. They only come past us once. So we really want to make the most of every day. So Moses said, Psalm 90, teach us to number. That's an old-fashioned word for count. Teach us to count our days so that we may become wise. Joe and I were talking about our money, as you do at this time of year. I've often said that the disadvantage of having a birthday at this time of year, I'm sure Yeshim would agree with me, is that everybody has run out of money and goodwill. Not everybody. My family have been very generous to me, and my friends too. But we were talking about money, and there's a kind of Victorian proverb about money. Count the pennies, and the pounds will take care of themselves. So we decided that we need to watch the little things that we spend, the little cost of coffees, you know, all those little things that add up in the end. That if we watch the little expenditure, then in the end it will all add up. Well, it's the same with time as well. I believe that we should count the days and then the years will take care of themselves. That we should view every day as something very precious. John Wesley is, I'm unashamed to say, is one of my heroes, because his life and the way he treated life transformed this country. It really did. He rocked this nation. And when he died, he didn't have much left. He was conscious that his time was God's time, his money was God's money, and his possessions were God's possessions. During his life, he actually made quite a lot of money because he wrote stuff and people paid him for his writings. I believe he accumulated, well, he didn't accumulate, that was the point, but he earned about £30,000, which in those days was a tremendous amount of money. But he just plowed it back into God's work. And at the end of his life, he had left, the only money he had left when he died, aged 87 in 1791, were the coins that were found in his pocket and his dresser. That's all he had left because he had given it all away. He really treated, he counted the money and he counted the days. At the end of his life, though, he did leave a legacy, and this was it. He left 71,668, because he was very meticulous about numbers, members of his societies. They were like home groups or cell groups, the little group members, over 71,000 of them. And of course, there were many, many others that were touched by his life that were not in that number. He left 294 preachers. And as you get older, you want to invest in the next generation. And I'm very, very conscious of that. And so excited that God has given us people of different ages, 20s, 30s, the children, those little sunbeams out there. They're all the church, aren't they? And God wants to use every generation. So he invested his life in nearly 300 preachers. By then, he had sent 19 missionaries out into different countries in the world. And in America, there were already 43,265 American members of those societies. And they had 198 preachers that he and his people had trained. What effect, what fruit from his life? And yet he really did it on a day-to-day basis. And today there are 30 million Methodists around the world. That's a pretty big number, isn't it? A few years ago, I was sent this poem in the post. And the other day I found this poem. I've been looking for this poem for years and years. I finally found it on the internet. It was written by a guy called George MacDonald. And in 1975, as a Christian of less than 2 years, I was praying about what God wanted to do with my life. And I felt in my heart that he was calling me to London, that my school was in Hertfordshire. And I had always vowed that I would never come to London. Anyone ever done that? I didn't like the city. Whenever we went on a school sports event or whatever, and the coach went through London, I thought, oh, what a horrible place. I never want to live there. I was a country boy. I was brought up on a farm in Lincolnshire. But I felt that God was calling me to London in a strange way. And actually to spend my half term in November to actually come to London. I didn't know what I was going to do or anything like that, but just to actually spend my half term here. And so I asked God to confirm his word to me. I had a scripture that seemed very relevant, but I asked God for an independent witness as well. And the next day in the post, a friend who'd come to London sent this poem to me by George MacDonald. I'm going to read it to you. It's not a fantastic poem. Maybe you'd think it's a little bit archaic, but it spoke to me. And when I read it, you'll probably realize why. I said, let me walk in the fields. He said, no, walk in the town. I said, there are no flowers there. He said, no flowers but a crown. I said, but the skies are black. There is nothing but noise and din. And he wept as he sent me back. There is more, he said, there is sin. I said, but the air is thick, and fogs are veiling the sun. He answered, yet souls are sick, and souls in the dark undone. I said, I shall miss the light. And friends will miss me, they say. He answered, choose tonight if I am to miss you or they. I pleaded for time to be given. He said, is it hard to decide? It will not seem so hard in heaven to have followed the steps of your guide. I cast one look at the fields, then I set my face to the town. He said, my child, do you yield? Will you leave the flowers for the crown? Then into his hand went mine, and into my heart came he. And I walk in a light divine, the path I had feared to see. The words in there that really spoke to me was choose tonight. And I knew that God was saying, I want you to choose right now to obey me or not obey me. And so that cold, very cold November, I set off for London and was just praying that God would lead me, find me places to stay, give me money. It was a really crazy thing. And he did. And many things happened those few days. In the end, I finished. I agreed I'd stay with a friend in Richmond, and that was my last bit of the journey. But in between time, I had to find places to stay. I spent one night homeless, bedless. Later on, when we were doing an outreach in the Denton area in Kentish Town, I realized that was the tower block that I had slept under my sheepskin in the cold, because I couldn't find anywhere to sleep that night. But God provided different things. And on the last day, I was at this prayer meeting, and I didn't have any money to get down to my friend. And a guy at the prayer meeting said, I just feel I should share with you what's in my pocket. He emptied his pocket, and it was just enough for the ticket to get me down there. Hallelujah. But it was exciting. But the main thing that happened was that I met an old gentleman who'd just become a Christian. Turned out that he was a major general in the British Army, retired, a man by the name of Sir John Nelson. And he was my wife's boss. As I say, he'd recently become a Christian. He just wanted to give his life to God. And he'd started a prayer meeting at a place called International Students House, of which he was the chairman of the governors. So he said, come along. And so on the last day, I turned up at the prayer meeting, the early morning prayer meeting, met some people who knew me, even though I didn't know them, because I won't even go into the story. It was extraordinary. But it kind of just confirmed, everything about it confirmed, this is what I want with your life. So I knew that God had called me to London. And whenever there have been difficulties in my life since then, and believe me, there have been lots of things and discouragements, I've always known in my heart that God has called me. And you see, God has got a plan for each one of our lives. He really, really does. I truly believe that. And I believe that the best is yet to come. We've been praying now for about 13 and a half years in Highgate Road Chapel, that God will move in our church and in the area. And he has done. Now, it's interesting how he's moved. We were praying, obviously, that God would pour out his spirit upon us. And I believe he has done that. But I believe there's much more as well. But since we've been praying, Revelation Church has sprung up. St. Luke's has sprung up. Paul was telling me the other day what an amazing thing's happened in the schools in Camden, that they were closed to the gospel pretty much. But now through cross-teach coming in and different churches participating, most of the churches in the area are very open to the gospel. And at least twice a year, they have events in which hundreds of local students come and hear the Christian gospel. It's fantastic. So God has done a lot, but I really believe that the best is yet to come. I want to talk about five things for us to nurture. These are things that I really believe in my heart. Excuse me talking about what I feel, but to me, I think these are key things and things that involve us all. The first thing I want to talk about is our sense of mission. Romans 1, chapter 1, and verse 1. Paul the Apostle, and he did this very often in his writings, he stated his mission. He was absolutely clear what God had for his life. So it starts off Paul. Originally his name was Saul, but he met Jesus. And I know that all those years ago at school as a 17-year-old, there's one thing I know. I met Jesus, and he changed my life. And at that time in my life, I really would just tell anybody if they would listen to me. And I would tell them if they wouldn't listen to me as well, because it made such a difference in my life. And it just seemed obvious to me that my call and the call of every Christian was to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And it's easier said than done, isn't it? And then since then, I feel in many ways I've allowed my heart to be discouraged and to grow cold. But I've been praying, particularly over this last 10 years, that God will warm up my heart. And again, that the good news of Jesus and our mission as a church, our mission as the church, would just be our main focus. We can worship when we get to heaven, and we'll all be there to love one another. But this is the only opportunity we have to reach those who do not know Jesus. So it's important that we keep that. And I want to encourage you, like me, to pray, God, keep that in my heart. Make it burn brighter. And if we find these things have died down in our hearts, all we have to do is pray. Just, God, could you renew that? Like we were singing in the worship, we were praying in the worship time. You know, breathe in me again. Stir this up. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. The definition of a leader in the New Testament is a servant. And Paul was just a servant. He just laid down his life. Now, I think for every member of the body of Christ, our calling is to be servants. You may not be very clear or specific about what God has called you to, but you can serve. And for many years, I have rocked up on a Sunday morning, bright and early. What can I do? Put out the chairs, put up the banner outside, do just whatever needs to be doing. And there have been some very, very difficult times in my life when our children have been ill, all sorts of different things when I would have been tempted to just lie down, let somebody else do it. And I'm taking no glory from this at all, but I'm just saying that I feel one of the best things I have done is I've just kept on going. And the best thing we can do, number one, is keep on praying. However little you pray, just keep on praying. And number two, do church. Just do church. Say, what God can I do to be a part of the church? And if we will serve, he will give us many things to do. So the second thing is the things God has called each of us to do. We are members of the body of Christ, every single one of us. Paul said, I don't account my life any value, nor as precious to myself, if I may only finish my course and the ministry that I received. And it's important to realize that we all have something to do. At the end of his life, he said, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith, and there's a crown ready for me. But what about you? What about me? When New Life started up, it was kind of the charismatic movement, as it came to be described, was in kind of full flow. And one of the things was that people were finding that many people actually were coming out of denominational churches and just starting up churches in homes. And actually, that's what we did, really. But it was because of a vision, really, that everyone was a member of the body of Christ. What was unique about those small groups, those small churches, they were called house churches before they grew and started to meet in schools and community centers and different things. Well, what was the unique thing? Well, one unique thing was that the vision was that everybody had a part to play. And in every generation over the years of moves of God, it's always gone back to the same thing of a clergy and a laity, the priests and everybody else. And we just want to avoid that, don't we? We really want to avoid that. And if we will let God renew us, then he will always have that sense that the church is you and me. It's us. People come to the church and say, oh, I've been to church. Well, you can't go to church. You are the church. You brought church with you. We are members of the body of Christ. We're very important. And that could be manifest on a Sunday morning. What do you do on Sunday mornings? Well, I help with the kids. I help with sunbeams. Occasionally, you might talk. You pray with your friends. But it's not just Sunday morning. Because you are an extension of the body of Christ wherever you are. You are the body of Christ in your family. In my little teaching thing, I was teaching yesterday, and God's given me the privilege of teaching at the moment a couple of Muslim women. And it was just a kind of privilege to be there and just, without saying anything, to be Jesus in that little room. And nobody else had that opportunity apart from me. And nobody has your opportunities apart from you. And loving one another outside the group. You can all go home after this meeting and be the body of Christ. You can encourage somebody. You can pray for somebody. You can send them a text. You can give them a gift. There's so many ways that we can be the body of Christ to one another. Paul said, we have received grace and apostleship. And there's just this thought that whatever God has called us to do, he has given us the grace to do. If God's asking you to do something in your life, he will give you the power. In fact, the Bible says he has given you the power. And if you will go to the throne of grace and receive that grace, he gives us grace for the situations he puts us in. Number three, love one another. This is so important. Maybe two or three years ago in the prayer meeting, God gave Vicky a vision. And we have lots of pictures and different things that people see, and they're probably all relevant in different ways. But sometimes something is said and you just feel, now God is really saying that. And not only that, but he kind of keeps that thought with you. And the thing that Vicky saw was a wicker basket. And she saw that this basket was being woven. And then when it was kind of woven, the bread, living bread, was put in it. And we felt that God was saying, I'm wanting to build your relationships. I'm wanting to knit your hearts together. And when I have knit your hearts together, I'm going to pour something in. And I believe over these last few years, God has been doing that. We brought a neighbor to the carols a couple of weeks ago. And at the end of it, she's not a Christian. She came once before. She looked at me and she said, wow, you've got something really special here. And I was really amazed. And of course, I looked around and I thought, you're right, actually. We have got something special. It's not necessarily more special than any other church, but it's so special to have love in this dark, cold city with people so separate and hurting and alienated that we have one another. We are not perfect, are we? None of us are perfect. And yet God has chosen to get us imperfect people and knit our hearts together. And through that, he will come. God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. All of you together are Christ's body. I'm not the body of Christ. I'm just a little representative. I'm just a little part of it. But together, we are the body of Christ. Romans 15, Paul says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another that together you may with one voice glorify God. God this year wants more harmony between us. I'm really grateful for the different generations. I'm so excited when I see some of the children who love Jesus more than I do. And at Carity Wood, you realize that the teenagers, God has done such a work amongst the teenagers. And the fire underneath the church keeps the old ones warm. And yet there's something for the older ones to contribute to the younger ones. And God, a couple of years ago, injected us with some 20s. Praise his name. And it's just nice to have a multi-generational church where everybody is important, where everybody is valued. And it's just like a family. A new baby is born and it just brings new life into the whole thing. So we need to love one another. I think it's in 1 John somewhere, and it says this. It says, no one has seen God at any time. But if you love God, I will abide there. No one's seen God at any time. But through our love as a church, people feel God. And that's what my neighbor did. She came in and she felt God. That was the amazing thing. But it had come through love. And we love one another and really value and hang on to love and relationships. Attend to your relationships. Attend to your family relationships. I love what Elaine says. God is speaking to touch those rough things and make them smooth. God's done amazing things in my family. I'm so encouraged. My dear sister is coming to stay with us next week. Well, less than 2 years ago, she got baptized, and she's a year older than me. It's never too late, is it? God invented families. He loves families. And in our broken society, it's easy to forget that. But we need to value families. God has put you in a family. Pray for your family. God can do great things. And then the people you're living with, maybe in your accommodation, in a flat or whatever, God has put you there. Your workplace, God has put you there. Attend to those relationships. Your biggest opportunities for the gospel are with those people you are with all the time. And sometimes we don't even notice that they're there. The next thing, the fourth thing, our inner life. If we do not maintain our inner life, we have nothing. Moses in Psalm 90 said this. He said, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's a really experiential verse, isn't it, this? You know, you can't kind of, that's not theory, that's not theology. He said, oh God, I want you every morning to satisfy me. See, only God can satisfy our hearts. And if I go one day without praying a reasonable amount or reading my Bible, I get really hungry. I get a bit desperate. I probably turn a bit nasty as well. Because we are made to enjoy God. So I really want to encourage you this year, pray. Please pray. If it's when I became a Christian, the man who had led me to the Lord just sent me a booklet in the post, and he said, spend 15 minutes every day, 5 minutes reading your Bible, 10 minutes like praying. And I thought that was a long time. But I did it, and I got into that habit, and that is not enough for me now. But yet there are very busy days, and if all I get is 15 minutes or 10 minutes at the beginning and 10 minutes at the end, I'm grateful for that. Take the opportunities. Don't be too ambitious, but get something regular. If the way that you've prayed in the past isn't working, scrap it. Talk to somebody. Say, how do you pray? During the course of this year, if possible, I would like to when I do my talks, maybe to do some talks on prayer. Oh no, not prayer again. That boring old prayer. I know all about prayer, but I want to do prayer in a different way. I'd like to do prayer maybe to teach a little bit at that time, but also to gather your experiences, to find out what do you find helpful in prayer? What works for you? Because I guarantee that what works for one person will not work for somebody else the same way. And what worked for me yesterday doesn't work for me today. But I want us to be renewed in our prayer lives, that we would become praying people in a praying church. To me, nothing could be better than that. If we are not praying people in a praying church, we have no future as a church. We really don't. Prayer isn't all we do. But it's got to be very important. The whole point of Jesus dying, it says Christ died for the ungodly, that he might bring us to God. The whole thing works through our relationship with God, our living, vital connection with him. And we need to pray more. And I pray every day, I pray, God, teach me to pray. Help me to pray. Help me to pray sincerely. Help me to pray in faith. Help me to pray in the morning. Help me to pray in the evening. Help me to pray in the middle of the day. Help me to pray about everything. Help me to pray at all times. I believe that prayer is a wonderful adventure that I have only just embarked on, and I am enjoying it. I'm not saying it's easy, but I've had so many prayers answered. I find it the most encouraging thing. So don't give up. Don't make it too big, but get that time with God every day. The last thing I want to mention is pray for God's working. At the end of Psalm 90, Moses said this. He said, "Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. Do you know what we're going to be doing on Tuesday in Archway Tower as we look over London? We're going to be praying, "God, let your work be shown." Our works are not enough. We could be the goodest of the good Samaritans, and it wouldn't be good enough. I know it should be best. We could be the best. We could put in tremendous effort. We could talk to everybody in London and hand them a tract. But unless it was God's work, there would be no point. Paul said, we are workers together with God. Yes, we are workers, but we are workers with God. So we are praying. That's why we have the Tuesday night prayer meeting. It's we are praying for the work of God, that he will do a work in us and through us and in this great city. Oh, let your glorious power be shown to your children. Do you want God's glorious power to be shown to your children? I do. I pray for my children. I've seen many wonderful things happen. We're not there yet, but God is very, very good, and he answers prayer. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. David, would you mind picking up the instrument? I want to kind of come back to the beginning, really, to this thing of the bulb, this thing of renewing, really, that I do feel today that God wants to renew, refresh, revive, strengthen something, pour something new into our lives to do with our vision. I believe we are at the beginning of the year. I know every year, I love the New Year's resolutions. I think it's a good idea. But I do have a sense today that God wants to refresh our vision. So let's stand, shall we, and pray. In a moment, as we sing, I'd like us, that if anybody would like to have prayer, specifically for the renewing of their vision, then I would like them to come to the front. I feel that's what God wants us to do today. And it doesn't need to be everybody. I don't want anybody to come because everybody else is doing it or out of some sense of obligation, or they feel sorry for me that nobody's come. But just if you feel in your heart, God, I want to make a fresh start. I want 2016 to be behind me, and I want you to renew something in my life. And I'm going to, if you come to the front, I want to find somebody to pray with you. And they will pray with you that God will stir up something, do something fresh. I don't know what God wants to do, but I do believe that he wants to do something. So what are we going to sing, David? There must be more than this. Do you know, when we started the prayer meeting 13 and a half years ago, this was my reason for the prayer meeting. I felt in my own life, there must be more than this. And I've discovered that there is more than this. And there's more than we have discovered yet. It's a wonderful song to sing this. There must be more than this. And it's a song about, it's a prayer asking God to pour out into our heart, to stir up, to refresh us. So let's sing this together and really connect with these words and pray this song in our own hearts. And as we do that, if you would like prayer, feel free to just stand and sing. And then if you want to come to the front for someone to pray with you, feel free to do that. There must be more than this.
I wouldn't be able to revise for them. And then I thought, what if I remain ill? And then I can't revise my A-levels? And what if it all falls apart? And so I started to get quite worried about, you know, the whole thing. And but like, I've actually been able to rest so much over Christmas, like have so much rest. And I actually realized that I so needed it. Like, I was getting really quite run down. And I've been able to rest so much. And it's actually been such a blessing. And so I looked in the Bible about like what God says about rest. And he said that God gives rest to the ones he loves. And so, yeah, I really want to encourage you today that even if you feel like you're not in God's plan, that it doesn't seem right, that you are still in God's plan, that, you know, he's got a plan. And, yeah, because all things work together into his perfect plan. That's like Romans something. And so, yeah, furthermore, before I did my economics mock, okay, this is the one I really put effort into. Even though I was a bit ill, I put effort into. And I prayed in that morning of the mock, Lord, you know, can I be a blessing to someone today? Can I be a blessing to someone? And then I got a text on my phone from my friend saying, hey, would you like to, you know, meet up and revise a bit? And I was like, okay, sure, you know, that sounds good. Because this guy gets stressed. So I thought, you know, maybe I could, you know, calm down a bit, be a blessing to him. And so we sat down. He was like, Matthew, you know, there's two past papers right here. I think we should go through them. You know, they look really, really good ones. And then so like, okay, cool, cool. I don't really know if I helped him that much, but you know. I went into the actual exam. I sat down and I realized that when I asked God if I could be a blessing to someone else, actually God just blessed me because I looked at the past papers in front of me and they were the two we just did. And so I thought it was amazing that God cares about like the little things. Like I didn't have much strength to revise, but I still gave my best. And then God just blessed me even more. And so I really want to encourage you today that, you know, that you are in God's plan and God has something amazing in store for you today. So, yeah.
Amen. Also, to add on to that, I want to encourage you today with a scripture from Psalm 41. And it goes like this. I know you are pleased with me, for you have not let my enemies triumph over me. You have preserved my life because I am innocent. You brought me into your presence forever. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen.
Amen.
That was really great. I have to say it again. I know you are pleased with me, for you have not let my enemies triumph over me. You have preserved my life because I am innocent. You have brought me into your presence forever. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. I've felt that God is saying to me that he's pleased with us, that he wants to revive us and remotivate us for this next year. He has preserved our lives and he's brought us into his presence forever. And now let's praise him for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's yet to do. So let's stand. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you are pleased with us. Lord, please remotivate us. Please be the kickstart into this year. Thank you, you have preserved us, all of our lives, Jesus, and that you brought us into your presence forever. Please, can today be the step where we go deeper into your presence. Lord, help us to praise you. Help us to have open hearts for you today, that we can go deeper and deeper with you. Amen.
Amen.
I just feel the Holy Spirit is very, very powerful right now. And I had the picture of soil, and I saw many seeds in this soil. And if you look at it from above, it just looks like muddy soil with nothing in there. But then I saw these many seeds. But what these seeds need to come forward is rain and light. And both of these things are provided by God, by the Holy Spirit. And that's what it takes for the next year. And I feel like God is especially talking to those that think 2017 will exactly be like 2016. What should change? There's nothing there. There are these dry and dead areas of my life. But, you know, the song we sang, that's what he does. He makes things alive just by how he is, by who he is love. So if we just stand there with our seeds that he gave us and just hear and say, God, touch me, I need you, that's everything it takes. That's what he does. So yeah.
Yes, Lord.
Angela, thank you. Let's just pray that, as Angela just shared that with us, very profound word, really. Let's open our hearts and just really allow that word to touch us before we move on. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just see us this morning with 2016 on one side, 2017 on the other, and like the water of just washing away 2016, like on a beach when the waves come in and wash away a sandcastle. It's washed away, it's gone. But these seeds that Angelina's talking about are powerful, real, from God, ready to burst into life for this year ahead. Let's just see the stuff from 2016 just crumble, wash away, go as the water of God's presence comes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we are here as your people, beginning the year that you've made. And we thank you for the seeds that you have put in our hearts and our lives, from you, from heaven, things that are full of life, things that have the potential to sprout, to grow, and to bear fruit. We thank you for those things. Every single life here, every single person here has those seeds sown from God in your life. We thank you for them. Lord, would you cause them even this morning to sprout, even this morning to germinate, even today to start to grow. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. John Hirini, you've got some encouragement for us? Do you want to come?
Good morning, church, and Happy New Year. This morning, while we were at the prayer meeting, the Lord showed me a picture of a rock. This kind of rock is usually found in northern Nigeria, the area where I'm from. And these rocks are very, very ugly. They are the worst kind of rocks you can ever find. When you ask children, when you go out to play with these rocks, you get beaten by your mom because they will stain your clothes. They are filthy. They are dark. They are smelly. They're just very terrible kind of rock. But the Lord said to me, touch this rock. And I just said to myself, why would I want to touch this rock? This rock is not useful for anything. It's entirely useless. But the Lord said, just touch it. So I stretched forth my hand and I touched the rock. And the rock began to change. And they began to look like precious stones. And I felt the Lord saying to me that this is what happens when you stretch forth the hand of love to friends that are no longer there, to family members, to relationships that are broken down, to brothers and sisters that you don't actually relate with, that this is what is going to happen this year if you only will stretch your hand and touch them. And I just want us to pray with just thanking God for the privilege of knowing that God can make something out of a situation that is extremely impossible. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you because you're a God that makes the impossible possible. Lord, we pray for a beautiful relationship with friends, with family members, with husbands and wives, with children, Lord. Relationship that we have seen and we have thought amongst ourselves that this is no longer possible. Will you make this a beauty to our eyes? Will you make it a joy to our heart? In Jesus' precious name.
Okay, we're now going to take the offering. So the bucket's at the front. If you're a visitor, please feel under no obligation to give. But if you would like to give, you come to the front. Okay, can we stand for the next song?
When we start. started worshipping, much like Angelina this morning, I was really, those words, you make me come alive, really, really spoke to me. And I think quite a lot of you know that a few years ago, I threw a tennis ball and somehow managed to break my arm quite significantly, and discovered that that generally is because of some not very good reason. And through that, the orthopedic doctor suggested I might live, I might not. The oncologist and the Macmillan nurse weren't giving me much more confidence. But after many tests, and what made it worse was that the very scary sister on the ward was stroking my feet in a very gentle way. So I knew things must not be good because she was very scary generally to everyone else. But amazingly, at the end of the week, after every single test you could possibly ever have, the oncologist announced I was a conundrum. The orthopedic specialist announced, don't really understand, but there we go. And then, I don't know, I believe it was God's miracle. When Nick said about counting the number of your days, I was really grateful that God should add a few more days to my life. And that's not the point of standing here. I've got to get through that to get to the point. So over the years, of course, I've been so grateful that God has added these extra days to my life. But more than that, after that happened, I was like, right, if God has added these days, I better make use of them. They've got to count for something. But it's amazing how easily it is for that to drift away, isn't it? So I've never stopped being grateful, but I've stopped sometimes. You know, you get distracted by life, children, just my own, you know, whatever, from making each day count. And I was really struck this morning by everything everyone said. Sorry, I don't want to. But I wanted to share this earlier, and then I thought I won't because of the children. And then when Nick spoke, I just thought, oh my goodness, he's really. It was just how our faith is active, isn't it? If we want each day to count, we've got to be active. I don't mean we have to do more, but we have to turn our hearts to God. We have to be active. I'm always going to be grateful to God, but that's quite a passive thing. If I want to make my days more, I've got to be active. And I just felt that today, I just wanted to encourage others that, you know, if you're not happy where you are, you've got to be active in your faith. And that might mean doing things practically. It might just mean turning to God and saying, I'm here. But we've got an active faith. So let's use it. Let's be active this year.
Thank you, Louise, very much. One thing that we don't really do at New Life is like church membership. You have to kind of like, you know, getting people to sign on the dotted line for things. But actually, there's a part of that that I regret, because sometimes I think it's helpful for other people to help you find out what you're good at or what you can be useful at. One John Wesley quote was, he said, God forbid that I should be useless. I like that one. God forbid that I should be useless. And I just want to suggest that if you're wondering, you think, I would really like to be useful, but I'm not quite sure how, talk to Paul, talk to me, talk to Bob, and we can help you to be useful. We'll never ask you to do anything you don't kind of want to do, but we might be able to suggest one or two things that would be really useful in the church. We might know situations where you could help that you don't even know about. Or there may be some gifting that you've got that you can't see yourself. Some people think you're much better than you think you are yourself. And people can see things in you, gifts that you're not even aware of yourself. So it doesn't just have to be me, Bob, or Paul, but you could start there. But talk to others in the church, maybe people who are leading in different things, I don't know, and just say, look, how can I be useful? How can I be useful? I'd like to suggest, if you want to, in finishing, feel free to just stay and listen and pray and whatever. But if you want to find someone just to pray with, then do that as well. But as Louise has said this, let not this just be a motivational talk that you forget. But let's think, what can I do? What do I need to do as a result of what God has spoken to my heart today? Okay. So feel free, if you also want to get some of that cake before it goes, some tea or coffee, talk to friends.
Fantastic, fantastic. One of you'd grab a seat. Please, big welcome this morning. If you're visiting or you're new, big welcome. Pray for God's blessing upon you today. Welcome to New Life. It's our first Sunday back here after the New Year break. So it's good to see you. Welcome, big welcome back. As John was sharing his testimony, the picture, the thing that he felt God saying, Elaine came and just said how God has been doing. Come, Elaine, come and tell us what God's been doing along these lines for you.
Hi. I've obviously got a very small family, and sometimes family feuds do happen. And gosh, just over a decade ago, there was obviously things that were said that shouldn't have been said, and it's taken a very long time to kind of restore things. But I'd been thinking about it for a couple of months, and I really missed that person. I used to visit a lot, and you know, they were really kind of part of my life, and when they're not there, you really feel it. And so Christmas Eve, I thought, right, that's it, I'm going to phone them. And you know, I did, and I spent a couple of hours on the telephone. We had a really long chat. You know, I said, look, we're not going to cover old ground. I don't want to do that. You know, let's focus on the future. Let's move things forward and let's restore our relationship. And she was so surprised that I'd actually phoned. I think if I'd not done that, they wouldn't have bothered. But I really wanted to, you know, build those bridges and have them, you know, back in my life again. So, you know, it was really wonderful to have that conversation. I'm going to go and visit very soon and meet, obviously, nieces and cousins that I haven't seen for, well, ever. So that's really lovely. But, you know, I think, you know, John just kind of, you know, hit the nail on the head. And, you know, we do have in families broken relationships. And I think, you know, this is the year for restoring those relationships. But very often it's up to us to actually take those first steps. And gosh, I'm ever so glad that I did. Amen.
Fantastic. Thank you, Elaine. Amen. Fantastic. We've been, over the past few months, every month we've had a verse where as a church we've tried to have it as our verse of the month. Michelle's been very helpful in encouraging us in this way. Michelle, what's the verse that we're going to be as a church this month focusing on? Tell us, sister.
Okay, well, it's from Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 1, so you probably all know it already. Oops, sorry. Oh, blinded by the light. Therefore, since I did know it this morning. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I learned, as many of you already know this, but I'll just say it for those who are new. I learned 36 verses or chunks from the beginning chapter of every book of this book, which was called Living Free in Christ by Neil Anderson. So it was years and years ago, and it transformed my life beyond belief, and I've never gone back to where I was before I learned them. Because God writes his law on our hearts, and if it just takes a lot of effort learning a verse, as you can see, still rough around the edges, but God changes things. And this morning I was praying about the verse, and I felt across the sky I saw these words written: I am the God that rewrites history. I am the God that rewrites history. So in the natural, we are fallible human beings, and people can even, or ourselves, can speak words that are negative and not good over us. You know, it's easy in a family to say, oh, they're always like that, or they always say this or do this. Well, it's actually not very helpful, because God is bigger than all of that. And so if we want to live free in Christ, as the book says, then we need to know what God has to say, so that God can rewrite history and we can have his words in our hearts and all the rubbish, you know, throw it away. Because when you get God's word in, the rubbish actually just leaves. It's like Nick used to say years ago, if you turn the light on in a room, the darkness goes. You don't need to worry about sweeping the darkness out. You just turn the light on. And with these verses, if you learn them, or rewrite them in your own words, meditate on them, there's lots of different ways of getting them stuffed inside you, then God will sweep the darkness out and you will become somebody who's free in Christ.
Thank you very much. Fantastic. Today, we're going to be celebrating a couple of things. It's great to celebrate as a church family. It's just great fun. And people have accused me in the past of being naughty, of picking on people, and of sharing things that are very personal. Far be it from me today to do that. But I just have you to know, it's a very significant birthday for young Nicholas down here. I wonder if you give him a big round of applause. Come on down, Nicholas.
More of the young, please, Paul. Thank you.
Now, listen, Maureen. We'll have none of that naughtiness. We'll have none of that naughtiness. Now, we're also, in a moment, going to be celebrating with Yeshim. But before we do, it's only right that I thought that it might be helpful for us. See, some people are saying, how old is Nick? And people said, is he 20, 30, 40? So I thought we'd have a few clues today. Okay, so it's a big one. It is a big one. Okay, so this may be a shock to some of you. It may be a great shock. What do you reckon, Nick? Now, the thing that many of you don't know about Nicholas is Nicholas was one of the founding people in this church. So Nick goes back a long, long way. And in fact, when the church started, there were 10 women and one man. Here he is. So there you go. And so we thought it'd be great to pray and bless Nick and sing happy birthday. And we're going to do that for Yeshim too in just one moment. But we just wanted particularly to say to Nick, thank you so much for the decades, many decades. When Nick arrived, he was a very young man. The decades that Nick has invested here in North London, here in this church, in praying, in serving, in reaching out, in loving and caring and building this church. So we're very, very grateful. I wanted to give you a big, big warm round of applause, Nicholas. Thank you so much. Now, Yeshim's very worried that she's going to get a similar treatment, but rest assured, we love you very much. Come on down, Yeshim. Let's give Yeshim a happy birthday. Fantastic. So we're going to sing happy birthday. The cakes are on the way down. So we sing happy birthday. It's happy birthday to Yeshim and Nick is the way we're going to sing it. Are you ready, guys? The birthday twins. Here we go. The cakes are on their way down. Look, here they come. Oh, they're a towering inferno. Now, we won't be indiscreet and ask Yeshim how many, but I guess it's a little bit significantly less than what we have here. Here we go. Happy birthday. Ready? Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Yeshim and Nick. Happy birthday to you.
Fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. Wonderful. A couple of things just before the children, young people are going to make a move. Just a couple of things I wanted to mention. Firstly, is that in this season till Easter, these next few months, we're working with a homeless charity here in Camden, and it's one that's based at St. Martin's Church in Gospel Oak. And we're helping with the food, with cooking food. Very practical way of responding to the problem of homelessness here in central London. And so if you've got time, inclination, and would like to help, then just let me know at some point that we could help them with the provision of food for the homeless folks that are going to be living there in the church for the next 3 months. That's the first thing. Second thing is that as we start this new year, and we thought it'd be good to start with a special event on the top of the world. And so we've rented an apartment, a room, that's one of the highest places around here. It's actually the old Archway Tower. So if you go down the road, just a few blocks down by Archway Tube Station, there was a very ugly, black, windy building that was there for a long time. And it's been refurbished, and it's now a beautiful building, and it's now apartments. The very top of that apartment is a vantage point. And so we're going to be having a prayer event this Tuesday at the vantage point. And there's the vantage point property we're going right at the top there. We're going to have a prayer event, and it's going to be from 7:30 to 9 o'clock. And so if you'd like to come, parking details are over there on the information point. If you've got a car, come by car. It's right by Archway Tube Station. It's right outside all the bus stops. It's stopped there at Archway. If you want to come, please come between 7:30 and 7:45 because of the security in the tower in order to get into the place. That's the time to come. So fantastic. Looking forward to a good launch, praying over London. The view from there is astronomical as you view over the city, looking over the 8 million people there are here in this city. And it's an opportunity to pray. Start the year by praying that God would come and move increasingly in 2017 in this great city. Thanks so much for being so patient listening to all those notices. The children are going to make a move. The young people are going to make. If you brought children, young people for the first time, go to the information point. Because now's your chance to make a move. Everyone else, if it's your first time, the toilets are out the door and straight ahead in the main school. The toilets, if you need them during today, they're out that way.